Good afternoon. It's great to be here. I'm glad you didn't forget to show. You know, have you ever forgot to go to church? Oh man, it was church day. Well, I got to admit, one time we forgot. Now, and it was even a holy day. How in the world could we have forgot? And finally, we realized we're supposed to be at church. And we hurried around and we rushed in. And it was a holy day and they were already set everything up and it was like starting. And thought, how in the world could we have forgot to go to church on a holy day? Now, this has been a long time ago, and my wife's memory has improved since then. So she got me here today without incident. You know, my title today is The Forgotten Law. You know, is it possible to forget God's law? Now, it reminds me, I won't turn there, but when Paul was in Athens, he looked and all the idols he was amazed at. And then he saw the one to the unknown God. The unknown God, the one that had been forgotten, was actually the Creator God. Now, how could you forget that? How quick we can forget. You know, we used to have the question said, why are we here? One of the reasons we're here is God knows we need to be reminded why we live, why we're called. And so he set up Sabbaths, holy days, how quick we can forget. And God has given us the Sabbath and the holy days because we need reminded of what our purpose is and what God is doing. You thought about this nation. As a nation, the United States, what has it forgotten? Well, the founding fathers, what did they know that's basically been forgotten now? You know, if you've been to the D.C. on the federal buildings, there's Bible verses itched all over it in different places. And now it's almost against the law to have a Bible verse in a federal building. James Madison, he was the fourth president. He's sometimes called the father of the Constitution. He made a statement, "We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government." You know, God didn't come and shake me and wake me up this morning. Hey, you got to get to church. You know, he expects us. And our forefathers expected people and knew it had to be for self-government upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to the control of ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Now, what has this nation forgotten? Patrick Henry, he said, this great nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's almost embarrassing now to mention God in high office, unless it's election time. Then it's okay then. Brethren, man forgets, but God restores. Yes, we forget, but God restores. And you look at the history of mankind forgetting or ignoring. They go together many times. In there in Genesis 3, it says the Eternal called to Adam. And, you know, he said, how do you know you're naked? They had been instructed. Now, I don't know how much time passed, but they were almost in a forget stage or an ignoring stage. And then what about Cain? Killing his own brother in Genesis 4. Cain didn't listen. God said, if you do right, then you know you'll be taken care of. If you do right. But of course, he wasn't ready for that. And then by the time of Noah, the earth was filled with violence. I may turn there to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. In verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. What Jesus said? He said, as in the days of Noah. Well, also, they'll be giving in marriage, having a good time, but the earth was filled with violence. So God looked there on verse 12 upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Yes, the earth had, people had just gone their own way. And the earth was filled with violence. Even apparently there's indication that Abraham's father, Terah, was maybe an idol worshiper at one time. I don't know, because he did take Lot and Abraham out of the Chaldees into Canaan. So I don't know for sure about that. But then what about after Joseph? Did Israel forget? And they came there. Joseph passed on. It seems they forgot who they were, what they were to do. They seem to have forgotten. And they certainly forgot God's law. But then God, as always, he intervenes. Just as in the time of Noah and with Cain, he intervened. Look, Cain, do the right thing. Time of Noah, and then Israel forgot, and then God sent Moses to restore the law of God. See, the Eternal spoke and directly dealt with Israel. Exodus chapter 6 through 20, you can see God dealing with Israel. Even in Exodus 19:9, that the people may hear when I speak to you. So God restores. Man forgets, goes his own way, but God restores. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see God says, beware lest you forget. And that's one of the reasons we're here today, that we do not forget, that we remember. We remember what God is doing and remember what God has said. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe in verse 10, so it shall be... there I am. Yeah, 6. So it shall be when the Eternal your God brings you into the land in which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. That'd be pretty nice. You just come in, the houses are there, the cities are there, and you come in and it's given to you. Houses full of good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells. The wells or the cisterns were there. Olive trees and vineyards. And then he says, when you have eaten and are full, you shall fear. Then beware lest you forget the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When everything's going well, you're full, you have everything you need, there's that the danger that you forget. Let's look at Joshua chapter 23. In Joshua chapter 23. Deuteronomy, Joshua. Here's a warning again that Joshua warns the people. He knows how what human nature is like. Joshua 23, verse 7. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. Verse 8, but you shall hold fast to the Eternal your God, as you have done this day. But you know, they didn't. It wasn't long before they began to forget. If we look in Judges, we see that they had already... by shortly after Joshua's death. Judges 2, verse 10. Now when all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Eternal nor the work which he had done for Israel. Well, when that generation is gone, then they didn't know. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Eternal and served the Baals. And they forsook the Eternal God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods. Then we see the pattern continues on. Verse 16, nevertheless, the Eternal raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. So we see God restores. Mankind forgets, and God restores. And turning on over to chapter 21 of Judges. God sent judges, he sent prophets. And it works for a while. In verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I was thinking, how in the world did we forget to go to church? I mean, how do you do that? You're not at work. So how do you forget to go to church? I don't know. You're wound up with other things. And as I remember, it seemed to me that we weren't that close to God anyway. Maybe we weren't studying that much. We had a lot of things. You know, we had all those kids. They just kept coming. We couldn't stop it. And it just took more and more time. And if he wasn't at work, but I mean, it happens. It's happened to me. I don't know if you've ever had it happen. It's happened to me. But then let's look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Here, Judah is returned to their land. Judah has returned from captivity. And they made a covenant in verse 38 of Nehemiah 9. And because of all this, we make a covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. But if you move back in that chapter, you see they begin to realize how far they had went away and how this all happened to them. How did they end up in captivity? Verse 7, Nehemiah 9, you are the Eternal God who chose Abram, brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you, and you made a covenant with him. So you see, he's rehearsing how God had made a covenant and the promises And they're carrying on in verse 8, in the end there, he says, "You have performed your words, for you are righteous." He's saying, God, you performed what you said. You performed your words, because you are righteous. And in verse 13, he says, "You came down also on Mount Sinai, and you spoke with them from heaven. And you gave them just ordinance and true laws, God, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws." So God took time and he restored what had been lost through negligence or through the God of this world. It had been lost. And in verse 30, "Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets." And back in verse 20, he had said, "You also gave your good spirit to instruct them." See, his prophets had God's spirit and they spoke to them. And he said that God has worked with us. But it's there later. He says in verse 36, "Here we are servants today. And the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are servants in it." Here's this land God gave to them for this blessing. And they find themselves as servants in their own land. "And it yields much increase to the kings, and you've set over us because of our sins, and they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle. At their pleasure, we are in great distress." So we see how continued Israel forgot over and over. And by the time that Jesus was born and walked on the earth, we had the Pharisees. They had the law, right? They had found the law. They hadn't forgotten it since Nehemiah. But they had forgotten the intent and purpose of the law. And they just used it for their own agenda. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, if you would. We see, because Paul, was he a Pharisee? Romans chapter 10, I believe in verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to you for Israel is that they may be saved." That was his heart and prayer. Verse 2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Yes. You know, zeal without understanding is like a runaway horse. You ever been on a horse and it run away? Well, I'm still old enough that we actually did ride horses. And now you get a runaway or a panic, and you're in trouble. It's got one thing in its mind. It's going charged to its destination. Or like a herd of buffalo that panic. You know, their zeal, they're with it. But it's without knowledge, without using it in the right way. And it seems that Paul's biggest enemies were those who had the law. Yeah, he seems to not have a big problem with the centurions or the Gentiles. It was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, seemed to be one of his biggest enemies. What does he say in Matthew chapter 23? Let's look there in Matthew 23. Oh, they were zealous to gain members. They were zealous to promote what they thought was God's church. 23 verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he has won, you make him twice as much a son of the grave as yourself. Yeah, after you've won that proselyte through all their perversion of God's religion, they made him a bigger son of the grave. They had zeal, but they had forgotten what God's purpose, what was his intent? You know, what was his law for? You know, in verse 20, I believe verse 24, well, I think this is the one I want. 23 through 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. That was the theme of the conference this year, justice, mercy, and faith. They lacked that. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Now, we could go back and see that from Micah, but we won't turn back there. Micah 6, 8, do justly and love mercy. Christ was quoting, he said in verse 24, blind guides, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. You're straining out a little gnat and you don't realize you're swallowing a huge, unclean animal, you know. And let's also look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And here we have Stephen in verse 51. Stephen's being very bold here. He sees them for what they are. He says, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Yeah, they were circumcised. Yeah, they would be circumcised on the Sabbath if it came on the right day. Oh, yeah, they were circumcised. But he said, you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers, so do you. He's saying that Israel resisted the Holy Spirit. And these people were still resisting God's Spirit. It's like if you have a child, you're going to cross the street. You know, a little child, you got him by the hand. Okay, you're going to take them across the street. Well, if they start resisting and pulling and pull loose, they're setting themselves up for disaster. And that's what Israel did. That's what people will do. That's what we can do. We can resist. We may have the Holy Spirit, but if we're resisting that, that's God restoring when we're getting the wrong way, when we're going to cross a dangerous street. Are we resisting that spirit? And in verse 52, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers. Those are tough words. I mean, when that crowd was able to stone people, and that's what happened. He says in verse 53, you have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. How could he say that as strict as they were? Because they had forgotten the purpose and how to apply it. The Pharisees turned the law into a tool to promote their own prestige or their own position. They brought reproach upon the law of God. You know, but what did Jesus say? Let's look there at Matthew 23. Matthew 23. in verse 37, or maybe 35, Matthew 23:35, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah. And he's talking again to the Pharisees. Verse 36, assuredly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. And then he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, you were not willing. Yeah, the Pharisees had brought reproach on God's law, just as worldly Christianity had brought reproach on Christ. Back in the early days, because of the way Christ was pictured, I'm going way back in the 60s, it was almost, we didn't want to say Jesus, because that image of what the world had projected and put out, it was like, we don't want to be associated with that. You know, that's not the God we serve. No, you know, that's not it. Because Christianity has perverted the image of Christ and has just like destroyed the real Jesus. So we see, as we look and review what happened to Adam and Eve, in the time of Noah, how could people go that far? How could you get in that situation? Well, we're almost witnessing it now. You know, we're almost witnessing it now. Israel repeatedly turned and forgot God, even though then God would restore through prophets and judges. And then Nehemiah, God actually restores the nation. You know, under a foreign power, but they're able to build a temple and they're able to worship God. God restores and man continues to forget. And then by the time the Pharisees, they had perverted the law of God to their own image. They've forgotten. What'd they forget? Justice, mercy, and faith. You know, they forgot that the Father sent His Son for mankind. They rejected the Christ. And I've heard said, and the Christians reject Jesus, the real Jesus, you know. But through God's Spirit, man will remember. That's what is sustaining us. That's one of the reasons we're here. Without God's Spirit, why would we be here? I mean, yeah, we could drift along and might be a nice social gathering, but it's only through God's Spirit is the intent and purpose of the law remembered. Let's look, and I will conclude here with Hebrews chapter 8. And we see God restores, and where we're so prone to forget. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. He says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Eternal. No, they forgot real fast. For this is the covenant, in verse 10, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Brethren, man forgets, but God restores. We're being restored through God's Spirit.